Without another moment's delay, I want to say good morning first to Dr. Tim Morthland, who's joining us this morning. Tim, how are you, sir? Good, I hope?
We're good. We're doing very well here in West Frankfort. Thank you so much.
You know, Dr. Morthland, you have been joining us since the beginning, talking about the birth of Morthland College. And very often we talked about how surprised people were to learn there was a higher education at Morthland College. Before we talk about the press release from last Friday, I want to talk about 2009. I want to talk about 2009 when you got started and started gaining traction and support from Morthland College. What was your vision at the beginning of this story in 2009?
Yeah, you know, my perspective and that of the founders were to create an institution of higher learning, a college. It would be grounded in faith, Christianity, and it would be committed to scholastics. The idea was that all waters rise with education, and it would play a major role in rebuilding the economics of the community, and also help thrust forward really an underserved group of kids and community members in the form of education. And so I think the ideal was very noble.
Now, when you started this, you had to you literally built and added on. You added this, and you added, you know, you had more teachers, you added the curriculum, you added an athletics department. You started putting these things together, and what's interesting, Tim, from the outside looking in, was the huge amount of support you garnered within the community and individuals themselves who helped Morthland College grow monetarily with structures and support of all different types.
That's right. We saw a tremendous outpouring of community support. And you're right. There was we started off very small with two degrees, one in biblical studies and the other one in classics, leaning on an old model. But then we added layers to the institution with a degree of in business and then biological sciences and then computer information technology. And then and in the fall of 16, we had even added an MBA, which we were preparing to deploy, associate's degree, degrees in music and so on. And then athletics, which is an important part of the community of the college and its outreach. We just a few years ago were playing Greenville. We had an interaction with Washington University. It was a wonderful time where the institution was growing. And all of this was part of a master plan, Tom, to create sustainability of the college, where we would hit a critical number of students and reach sustainability fiscally. And so much of that was playing out until an untoward event in January of 2017 occurred.
All right, we're going to get to that in just a couple of moments as well, because here's another story track I so often glom onto numbers. When you started, you had around 30 to 40 students. At your peak, you had between 300 and 400?
You know, Tom, yes, and we began with 11 students, and we would fluctuate up and down up to 13 and 14, and they were outstanding students, and they put a lot of faith in the school. And we peaked on our ground campus between 100 and 120, and then our online degrees at about 200. So 300 to 350 is a fair number. Yes. At one point we were had a very robust student population.
All right. Now, what I want to do, a press release was issued by your office May 25th. You know, Tim, there's something before I get into this. I want to thank you for joining me on the show. I know that you had been referring media's questions to Aaron Hopkins, a lawyer, and I want to thank you for the trust that you have in joining me on the show and allowing me to speak with you on this subject. And I'm going to point out point blank before we start this morning with the deconstruction of this press release. Dr. Morthland did not put any stipulations on this this interview. He didn't say I'm not going to talk about this. He said, you just asked me what you want to ask me, and I want to make that perfectly clear before we get started, and thank you for your trust, Dr. Morthland.
You're welcome, and that's one of the reasons I come to you, is that you present information in its form as it should be presented. It is accurate, and it does not mislead the population, and that's important to me, that accurate information is disseminated. So you're welcome, Tom, and thank you for your integrity.
Exactly 501 days ago since its disbursement of federal funds is the way this press release begins. 501 days, Morthland College announces that the institution will not open in the fall of 2018, following an earlier January of 2017 General Assessment Program reviewed by the United States Department of Education, a heightened cash monitoring Level 2 sanction was imposed on the college on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, ultimately leading to an emergency action letter the following August representing the Chicago-Denver office attempt to revoke Northland College's ability to disperse federal funds entirely. Now, this is the part, because when you look at this, this is dense, and the popular euphemism is to unpack it. And this is the part that I want you to unpack first, Dr. Northland. To date, Northland College has received no program review report from the Department of Department's January 2017 visit. No program review. Northland College appeal of its August 2017 emergency action letter currently sets in the Office of Hearing and Appeals in D.C., where parties have been in a settlement negotiation since last November and to date have been unable to reach an agreement. Let's talk about this for just a moment. What does this mean?
So that is a very dense packet of information. So in January of 2017, the DOE makes an unannounced visit on our campus. 1 week later, we are placed on heightened cash monitoring, too. And what this means is they had a concern, and they said, you know, we're going to move you into a different category. No longer are you going to pull down funds 1 week at a time, week to week. What we're going to do is ask you, you're going to pay all the students' tuition, you're going to pay all of their expenses, and then we're going to reimburse you. And what we made an assumption that they were going to participate in that due process, and they did not. They have not reimbursed us for one expense. In fact, Northland College has been playing the role of a bank. We have been pushing out money and expecting to be reimbursed, when in fact they never did. And so we still do not know why they placed us on HCM2 and have not seen 1 ounce of evidence as to why they did it. No, we don't understand the allegations. And we do not understand why they did it. We have not seen proof.
Dr. Morthland, are what we talking about here is a lack of due process, sir?
Oh, lack of due process and violation of their own statutes. And let me give you an example. And so about 2 weeks later, we send out a letter to the Department of Education and say, you know, we're not sure why you placed us on heightened cash monitoring, too. Our fiscal indices are in non-probation. We are in a state of fiscal health. And the media has played that little quip for me, and that's what we meant. We had a very strong CFI, Composite Financial Index. And so we sent a letter, and that letter preemptively, according to federal statute, protected us from their next action in August of 2017, and that was the emergency action. We should have never been placed on that. We should have never received that action because of the letter that I sent them, which states this. We are making policy changes that we believe we have gleaned from your program review, although you have not declared them in your January visit. We think we may have these three issues. They were tweaks in our policy. We sent them the letter. That motion by Morphin College should have protected us from the emergency action.
Now,
it did not.
Right, now, what's interesting when you take a look at this and why this money is necessary, and you point this out also once again in the press release dated May 25th, campus resides in one of the most impoverished counties in the state, where over 90% of Northland College students are in need of federal funding to attend college, and without a timeline for a settlement or restoration, which is also what we're talking about here, without due process, without knowing a date, without having a hearing date, you basically have no end in sight on when you can begin to address these financial issues in relationship to the Department of Education. And we already know about student loans and how important they are for people being able to go to school. So you talked about your CFI, that you were acting as a bank of your students with no assurance you were going to see money. So basically they ran you up against the wall, and while you were offering to be a bank, and I think a bank with income as a result of the guilds, I should say. So you had money coming in to be able to help in that respect, but there is a limit.
Oh, there certainly is a limit. I mean, just consider SIU or John A. Logan. If you froze their funds today, how long would they last? 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, who knows? And so we knew we had the ability to last for maybe a year and a half. It has been a great strain because we had the backing and capacity coming in from the guilds. But there is a limit on what the for-profits can endure, what the foundation can endure. And we just saw that we can push through 2017-18, and we did. We were able to graduate some students and try to work this out with the Department of Education, but they have no interest in working it out, Tom. And when we asked them for any form of proof for their action or justification, we received none. We have received nothing from the Department of Education. This comes out of the Chicago-Denver office. This is their director is Douglas Parrott, and we have had very negative encounters with them over the last really 5 years. We have felt we have been treated unfairly. We have not been given due process. And, Tom, I think this is just a sampling of what's happening nationwide. We know that at least 40 non-for-profit faith-based colleges have departed from the Department of Education. We know they no longer take federal student aid because of these treatments coming out of the Department of Education. And I'm just going to go a step further. Their actions in violating their own statutes, which are egregious, it's criminal.
All right,
it's criminal.
When are we saying here, Dr. Morthland, that the Department of Education is systematically going after colleges, universities with a religious bent? Are we talking about that an attack on religious education in this country?
Oh, absolutely. It is a set forth programmatic plan to attack non-for-profit faith-based colleges in this nation, and we I was familiar with it. I met among a group of presidents of private colleges about 2 years ago, and we sat around the table, and most of them were from faith-based colleges, and said, we are looking very closely as to how we can move away from the Department of Education, because we know that it is a death cog, that in due time they're going to start coming after us.
Right.
And so our story's not unique, Tom. It may be unique to Southern Illinois or in this region. It has happened many times, and so it is unfortunate that this is the system we live in.
All right. Now, we continue to unpack part of this. There was an emergency letter from the department, and the press release says, deny allegations set forth in the emergency action letter. What were those allegations, Dr. Morthland?
I mean, the allegations were two to threefold. Number one was our distance education did not meet standards of distance education. They said it really meets the category of correspondence education. And that allegation is categorically false. We use the standards of distance education established by the state of Illinois, by our accreditation agency, and we lived in the land of compliance, and we documented everything. And so the department is not able to prove that allegation. And so what they did with that, Tom, was they said, okay, every distance education course you've offered, we're going to fine you for it. And so they imposed a $2 million fine by disqualifying every distance education course we offered. It was very nefarious, quite nefarious. Yeah. And so that's number one. The number two was, which has been in the media some, they said, you have, Morthland College has established a relationship with preparatory academies. Well, that is not true. A preparatory academy is a place where a student may want to grow his skills or her skills in athletics. It may, I don't care what it is, it could be in crocheting. And then they also would like to attend college. Well, a few of these prep academies approached us and said, could our students apply to Morthland College? We said, we don't really care what they do in their spare time. You can apply for coursework or a degree. They were accepted. They were delivered quality online education. We notified the state. The state knew about this. And also our accreditation agency. We were not in the dark. So they alleged that these students also did not qualify for the pull down of federal student aid funds. So those are the two main allegations. And we have looked very carefully at our record. We were in compliance with DOE standards. But in any case, they have made allegations of wrongdoing. They have not proven that we have broken any statute.
But still, nevertheless, once you're in this situation, Dr. Morthland, you look for a way to get it to end, to come to some type of amicable end, and that is the pathway that you're seeking now for the institution, to be able to at least get a timeline for the process to work these out.
Well, that's exactly right. The end in mind with the Department of Education when they place an institution on hat and cash monitoring to level two is to kill the institution. In my view, that is the backdrop of their action against the school. And so eventually all of the interaction with the college goes away when it closes. Well, yesterday, and I repeat yesterday, even though the school is closing, we are requesting a hearing in Washington, D.C. We are demanding them to drop this emergency action. And if necessary, we will appeal to the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, and present her own case. Tom, I will be damned if I have this college go down with a legacy put forth by the Department of Education with false allegations.
You know, and that's interesting because you've got that, and I understand what you're talking about here, especially when your name's on it. I mean, I get this, right? But you've got two areas that I see there, Dr. Morthland. You've got this image, but you also have the people who have graduated in their sheepskins and their credit hours and being in an effort to try to take care of them. You actually referenced this in the press release from last week to cooperate with the Illinois Board of Higher Education and the TRACS program in providing pathways for transferring credit. So you're not only worried about image, but you're worrying about what people have paid for in your institution and sure they get that credit.
You know, Tom, that's exactly right. We're on trial for a murder when there is no body. We have been presented with allegations that are untrue, and our position with our board and also with me as the president is that we are not going to let the legacy of this institution go down with false allegations, and we will take the fight to the bitter end. And so that is where we are now. We had four conversations yesterday with the with officers at the Department of Education in D.C., and we will pursue this until the institution is served justice. We have met with all forms of trials, every action possible imposed against this school, but we are going to clear this school's name because we have done no wrong, and we have moved with integrity. Tom, there's something interesting I just wanted to, as tangent. When allegations like this come forward and are placed on a school, it creates a tremendous amount of division. It creates division in the community. It creates division within the institution. And it creates a lot of conjecture. And that has been very unfortunate.
Right.
And so part of this is I believe that in clearing the name and clearing our legacy, if you will, I believe there will be a lot of healing that comes out of it. And that we will have some peace with the life and history of the school.
One of the items that you and I have not touched on this morning is the guilds and what they represented as a source of revenue for the school to be able to prop it up. Now, my understanding, this press release, once again, we go into unpack mode from the press release issued last Friday. Surviving businesses originally birthed in an effort to support the economy in West Frankfort have relocated to new headquarters in Williamson County and continue to operate. Who are we talking about here, Da Vinci?
Well, for certain, the focus drink, Da Vinci, that is true. There's also a non-for-profit, the Morthland Foundation, that continues to play a benefactor role and is really carrying the torch as part of working out these details with the Department of Education. The questions arising out of the DOE has created a lot of division in the community and in the county, and we really felt that the guilds needed to separate themselves from that discord.
Right.
And so we believe we've moved to an economically friendly environment in Williamson County and allow these businesses to move forward within their own mission.
Where did it go wrong, Tim? Where do you think it went wrong?
Well, you know, we were a young institution, and we had leadership who were very, very deep waters. And I think we did a very nice job. But at the same time, sure, we made some mistakes. We did not make mistakes at the level that has been stated by the Department of Education. And mistakes were made. But I think in retrospect, any young college should stay as far away as possible from the Department of Education. And that advice had come to us even early in our existence.
Right.
Stay away from the DOE because in the end, they will place you in their snares. And so I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that we made. we could have probably stayed independent. We would have been smaller. We would have been much, much smaller and non-traditional. But students wanted it, and so we, in part, pursued it.
You've got loose ends to clear up, don't you, Doc?
Oh, gracious. We have many loose ends, and we have been doing that over the last year by people who are faithful to the school's mission. Most importantly to us is to take care of these students. And we continue to interface with them. There are a number of them who need to finish out their degrees at another institution. We've been working on making sure that that happens, transcripts and so on. And so we will continue that part of the mission and work towards closing this matter with the Department of Education. But it's been a wonderful experience, and we're very saddened by the press release and what will play out. But nonetheless, I think in retrospect, I would have still done it, and so would have the founders.
I wonder sometimes, Tim, if somebody right now, like yourself, somewhere says, you know, I'd like to start an education where kids are not indoctrinated in higher education by the government. I want to start a college. That you are the first college since 1892 to get a charter from the Illinois Board of Higher Education, which happened in 2009. And if that does not send, at least in some form, for people who are in this peer group, and it's an elite group across this country, and educators don't see this as a dark shadow that scares them away for creating educational opportunity in other places in this country, if not in Illinois.
You know, you're right, and I think from where I sit now, I would move forward on such a project with pause. I would want to look very carefully at it and have someone experienced come in and try to lay out some of the areas that one would like to avoid. I would make sure that the school was in a very post-secondary education-friendly state. Illinois is a challenging state. It demands very high quality. And they've been very cooperative with us at the Illinois Board of Higher Education. They put a lot of faith and trust in our school. And the problems that we've had with the IBHE have come as a result of these allegations of the DOE. We have, just before the DOE came on campus, Tom, we had 5 new degrees before. We had an on-site visit with the Illinois Board of Higher Education in the fall of 2016. And they put forward 5 new degrees, including an MBA. We were in very good standing with the state. And also attract, but as far as starting a new school, you know, Tom, it is with trepidation. Because it is I would stay away from the Department of Education because their intention is to limit access to federal student aid dollars, particularly at faith-based colleges.
So what do you do? There are people out there that have bills that need to be paid by Northland College. What should they look forward to in their relationship with the college going forward from here?
Well, we would, you know, the Department of Education is holding $750,000 at this time of Northland College's funds. We have been waiting on those dollars since January of 2017. And those dollars, Tom, really come from the fall of 2016, money's earned. And so you can see how long we have been waiting on our resources to come in. And so they put the death cog on us in the spring of 17. So there are outstanding bills to be paid. But when the money is not there, that's all we can simply state. We hope we will reach a resolution with the Department of Education. And at that time, our first task is to try to reconcile.
Right.
These bills do. And there are many people who have been hurt from this, Tom.
Yeah.
It's not just Northland College. It's the students, the families, and the businesses who were actively engaging with our school during its operation.
Right. And there are a lot of different services come in, whether it's paper or a bus or whatever the case. There's the lights are on or whatever the case. Dr. Tim Orthland joining us, Northland College. No fall 2018 session. But here's the thing, as we wrap up today, and I want to be gracious, thank you because you spent 25 minutes with me here now answering questions. So what's the question I didn't ask you that you very much would have liked me to ask?
You know, Tom, I think that we have done a very nice job of surveying this information. I think what we would like to do, Tom, is as we move through this process with the Department of Education is to provide the people with an update once we have information coming out of the appeal process and out of the Secretary of Education's office. It's very important we disseminate that information.
I'm looking forward to speaking to you when that happens.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, for covering this topic over the last several years and for your integrity.
Well, Dr. Morthland, I appreciate it. I wish this had a better ending. And you know this because, and people here I work with, because I got so excited at the prospect of seeing a new college growing here. And the ending bothers me a great deal, and I can tell from the tone of voice that it bothers you in a way that I've not heard over the years that I've known you. What's next, Tim? Because I have a feeling that this is not the end for you, that now, if nothing else, you might be a bit more focused.
Yes, a bit more focused, and I think that we will see the other business of the guilds go forward. In terms of myself, personally, I have always been active in the community, and I'm re-examining that and how best to apply and see that passion play out. The community matters to me, and I think that we are responsible and should participate in supporting our own communities. And so I'm trying to think about how to do that.
You know, it's interesting because what I hear, Dr. Morthland, is F. Buckminster Fuller, who said after a certain point in his career, he found he was most efficient when he was helping the most number of people. And so that's why he started choosing things like housing to focus himself on, because he wanted to help the most people possible. That was his vision of efficiency. And so he changed what he worked on as a result.
Well, that's exactly right. And so it's resulted in much introspection and looking about and seeing how I can best use my time and how our organizations can best support the community and while still fulfilling their mission. And so I think that there will be a season of reflection, and then we will redeploy, if you will, Tom.
Dr. Tim Morthland, Morthland College. As always, Doc, appreciate your time, sir.
All right, God bless.